I want to say it's been a great 2 weeks. I've been on vacation, and I know y'all been doing great here. Somebody asked me a while ago, did I enjoy it? And I said, yes. You know, I went to, with three ladies, to Missouri Morning Star or Quilt Star, and if you've never been to a quilts with three ladies, well, then that's exciting. Actually, they had a man cave there. I didn't go to the quilt shops. I spent all day in those quilt shops. I sat there in a big old recliner, and you know, I went to sleep. And I was watching a football game there, and I went to sleep. Next thing I know, it was over with. They woke me up and said, hey, it's time to go. I said, man, that's a quick day. But then we come on down to Branson, and we went to see Moses at Sight and Sound Theater. Ran into the Baptist Men of Texas there, and they sing a beautiful song inside the theater so hot it set it on fire. We was all dismissed out of there, and they sang in the parking lot for a little bit, and then we all went back in and finished the show, and that was a great show. If you've never seen Sight and Sound and the biblical presentations they do there, you need to go. And then I came home, and I was put in solitary confinement. I went down to my farm down where Zach and I's farm here, and I just stayed by myself, and I got my sanity back. And we're glad to have Zach with us. He's home with us. You'll be hearing from him during the course of the 3 weeks. And y'all probably rather hear him than had me. But turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I don't know if it's in your bulletin or not. It may say chapter 12. But it's chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your blessings. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. God, just speak to our hearts, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The most important thing that we can do is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never put your faith in him, then that is what you need to do today. You need to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. This is the eternal purpose of the eternal God. This is why Christ left the glory and came down to earth in the form of a man. This is why Christ died upon Calvary's cross, that we might have the salvation that he has provided. This is why he overcame death. This is why he's coming again. Oh, because he's got such a great salvation. Now, there's a need in the world. And I believe salvation is the greatest need that man has. We need to know Jesus Christ. You know, if we were all saved and we all loved one another, we wouldn't have to worry about terrorist threat. We wouldn't have to worry about being robbed. We wouldn't have to worry about killing one another because we'd love each other. And we should love each other. And we should have that salvation that God has given us in our heart and a love for one another that we might reach them for Jesus Christ. And while I read this and see that God so loved the world, there is a great and terrible truth that we find in the Word of God. Not everyone in this room this morning will be saved. Isn't that something? All can come to Jesus Christ this morning by faith. They can trust him as their Lord and Savior. The Lord says, I wish that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. And yet, the great and terrible truth is that some in this room this morning will miss that great salvation and end in an eternal hell because we refuse to believe, we refuse to trust the Word of God. Now, this text presents three great facts which we all must face. Let me say, one is sin is punished. Sin will be punished. And then the second is there's a glorious salvation which God has provided, a glorious salvation that so many can have to escape the judgment of the place called hell. And then the great fact is that so many will miss that so great a salvation that God has provided that everyone might have and come to him. You see, the Bible says sin is punished. Look at what it says. Every transgression and disobedience in the last part of 2 will receive a just or recompense or receive a just reward. The Bible tells us that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, that's just a plain truth there, folks. If you go out in your garden and you plant corn, guess what? You expect to receive corn, don't you? If you plant purple hull peas, and I think you're wise there, you expect to grow purple hull peas, not black-eyed peas, not cream peas, but purple hull peas. Whatsoever a man sows, if we sow sin in our life, if we do things that are breaking God's commandments, the Bible says in the end, the Bible says the wages of sin, that's what we're going to earn, is death, eternal separation from God. If a man sows wheat, that's what he receives. If a man sows corn, he expects corn. If a man plants a whatever, he expects to do that. But if we neglect those things that we plant, like if we plant corn and we neglect that, guess what? The weeds grow up in our corn. The weeds grow up in those precious purple hull peas. The weeds grow up in our lives. If we do not stay in the Word of God, if we do not listen to the Word of God, we do not use that salvation that God has given us, if we just neglect all of that, then, folks, the weeds will come up in our life. And when an individual chooses the way of death, the way of evil, the way of sin, when he chooses to disobey the laws of God, when God says, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not have any other God before me, when a man chooses that way of life, there can only be a bad result. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible tells us. Sin will be punished. You know, thousands upon thousands are behind bars today. They're locked up in our prisons, they're locked up in our jails because they fail to recognize that our actions receive a just reward. You see, when we do something wrong, we're going to be punished for that. When we disobey God's word, we're going to be punished for that. We disobey his commandments. It says it brings forth death. Now, Jesus continually warns men that sin will be punished. Folks, you can't get around it. No matter what we do, the Bible says sin will be punished. He says in one place in the Bible, it's better to have an evil hand cut off than go on in sin and end up at a place called hell. Now, today I know hell's not a popular subject. People don't like to preach on hell, but the Bible says it's real. It's a real place, and real people are going there, not because God is just sending them there. No, they go there because they do not believe the words of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. James 1:15 says, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sins, surely it'll die. Folks, when we sin, we're going to end up death. That's separation from God forever. All of us will die physically unless the Lord comes back. We're going to die. We're going to get old, and I know all about that. We're getting older every day. We may think we're still young and everything, but hey, we can't do what we used to do. The funniest thing ever happened in my life was about 3 years ago. I saw old Tom back here, the big old tall guy that sings, and we was out hunting one day. I hunted with him, and we came up to this little creek. Now, he's got long legs. He could almost step across that creek, and in his younger days, he probably could. But you know what? He tried it in his older days, and I just laughed and laughed because he didn't make it. And off into that creek he went. He got his feet wet. And, you know, I wasn't helping the situation. He had a sack of feed in his hand. I think he fell with it. Oh, it was funny. It was funny. We was out in the woods. There wasn't nobody there, but I guarantee you, people in downtown could hear me laughing. And you know what? The same thing happened to me one time. I did something I wasn't supposed to do. Well, let's just put lever B on that one, like I said, and leave that alone. Because, you know, we do things that we think we still can do, but we find that these old bodies are growing old. And we've got to accept the awful truth that if we live long enough, we're going to die. Physical death. But then what? Where will we spend eternity? God says just one of two places. You're going to be on the road to heaven, or you're going to be on the broad road to hell. Now, where will you spend eternity? Think about it. Ask yourself, where will I spend eternity? Have I done what Christ asked me to do? Have I accepted Him? Have I trusted the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse my life? Have I, by faith, started walking with God and trusting in that great salvation? The Bible says sin is punished. That is a great and awful truth that the Word of God speaks out. And then there's the glorious truth that salvation is provided. Look at what it says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You see, God doesn't want us to go to hell. He so loved the world. You see, He's so great a salvation. That so great a salvation reminds me that God so loved the world. That means He loves everyone in here. He loves you. He cares about your life. Even though we mess it up, He still cares about you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to live a great life. I don't know about you, but I really didn't live until I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's a great life. Being a Christian is a great life. You can have fun. If you're a Christian, we know how to have fun. The lost world thinks they know how to have fun, but, you know, they don't know how to have fun. They don't know how to rejoice in living. They don't know how to rejoice in time of sickness. They don't know how to rejoice in time of death. Oh, they weep and they mourn and they cry and they cry out. But, you know, in Christ, we find power to keep on going. We find power to get up the next day. We find power and strength in God's Word to make it through this life. You see, we're in a marathon. I'm going to preach that in a couple of weeks. We're running a marathon. Life is not just a 100-yard dash. Life is a marathon. From the moment you hit the ground, you start running this race. And listen, you better be strong. And the only way to do that is in Christ Jesus. God has provided salvation from the sin. Our text says, so great is salvation. And it's through His precious Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now, what do I mean by salvation? Salvation has been defined all that God does for man by delivering him from the consequences of sin and forgiving him and making him into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you know that the moment you're saved, the moment you trust Jesus Christ, you are a little child of God, and he begins to grow you, develop you, taking everything out of your life that doesn't fit and starts making a new person out of you. You know, we're growing. I'm not what I should be yet. One day when God gets through with me, I'll be exactly what he wants me to be. Friends, I mess up. I sin, you know, and God says, okay, you messed up, you sin. You know, confess it, get it right. He picks me back up, puts me back on the right road. That's what I mean. It's a great salvation. Christianity is a great life. Why is it so great? Because we've got the greatest provider, the eternal God. God purposed in his heart that he would send his son to die for us. You know, in the Garden of Eden, he said, Adam, do not eat of the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. Guess what? We sinned. And I say we because we're just like Adam. We are born with a sinful nature. Man, you know, when I grew up, I was hard-headed. Daddy called me a knothead sometimes because I was so hard-headed. You know, he would tell me not to do something, and that was just like making me do it. The old devil said, you're not going to be told you can't do that. You just go ahead and try it. Well, I did, and man, I got punishment for it. And, you know, after a while, I said, get behind me, Satan. I even tried to use that old Flip Wilson. I don't know if y'all knew Flip Wilson or not. He used to be one of them old entertainers on television, and he said, the devil made me do it. I'd say, get behind me, Satan, and guess what, Daddy? He pushed me right on in there. That didn't work with Daddy either. He said, if he pushed you in, I'm going to get you out. It's my job to train you and develop you into the young man that God wants you to be. And the Bible said, spare the rod, spoil the child. He sure didn't spare the rod. Man, he got onto us like a duck on a June bug. Man, he was all over us. And you know, I'm glad that he was, because that's the way my Heavenly Father does. When I do something wrong, the Holy Spirit of God is in my life to convict me and show me where I've done wrong and make me feel guilty about it, so that I'll get on my knees before God and say, God, help me out of this mess that I've made. And you know what? He reaches down and picks me up, for the Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, I just think the Christian life is great because we've got a great provider. Not only is it great, it's great because of the price that was paid. The price that was paid. You know, salvation is free, but it cost our Heavenly Father a high price. It cost him his son on the cross of Calvary. He went all the way to Calvary, and he died on Calvary's tree. You know, we talk about our freedom in the United States. We have a great freedom. But let me tell you something. It wasn't free. I lost some relatives in the war. These first responders that we're going to honor, they've lost some buddies and some friends and maybe family members in the war. Well, freedom cost. There's a high price paid for our freedom. Christ gave the ultimate price. He gave his life on Calvary's cross. You see, we can't be good enough to get to heaven. We can't work our way to heaven. The Bible says there's no righteousness. Our righteousness is a filthy rag. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can get into heaven. There's no other way. I don't care what some of these television ministers tell you about, all feel good stuff. No, that won't get you to heaven. There's not a multiple way to get to heaven. There's only one way. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, how? Except by me. Man, we've got to come through Jesus Christ. It was a very costly price. It cost Jesus Christ heaven himself. And it'll cost him a life down here with men, with all the suffering and the pain. He was willing to endure the cross for the joy for us. Knowing that if we would just come to him. Man, think about the agony as they nailed him to that cross there. As they put him on that cross and they drove those spikes, as they whipped him, as he was just a bloody pup. You think about all the agony of the cross and all the sins that God laid upon him for us. Yet he said, I go willingly. No man take my life. I lay it down. Man, I tell you, no greater price has ever been paid for in the world. Yet salvation comes to us without cost. And there's no price that we can pay. Only through Jesus Christ can we have eternal life. Not only because of the provider, not only because of the price, but also because there's a great provision. The moment one receives Christ as your Lord and Savior, he receives all the promises of God instantly. 1985, May 5th, 1985. 1975, excuse me. I was in Eastside Baptist Church, a young man who grew up in church, who grew up sitting at the piano bench playing the old hymnals for church. Yet all of those things that I did, I never was saved. And I knew I wasn't saved. And I wanted Christ in my life more than anything else that day. He had been speaking to my heart about being saved. He had been speaking to my heart, and I had pushed him back, saying, God, no, everybody there will know that if I trust Christ now, that the first time was just a phony, and I've been living a lie all of these years. Lord, I'm not going to do that. And I kept saying that, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Lord, I don't want to do that. I've been going to church all my life. Man, that preacher stood up there that day. I never will forget it. And he preached on salvation. And he said, some of you are going to hell because you're too full of pride in your own life. And man, the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart and said, Booney, if you don't go down now, you will never go. Man, let me tell you something. I didn't care what my dad thought. I didn't care what my mother thought. I didn't care what my brothers and sisters thought. I didn't care what the church thought. It was only what God was thinking. And he knew that I was lost, and he knew that he loved me, and he said, go. And by faith, I stepped out and walked down. I shook the preacher's hand and said, listen, I want Christ as my Lord and Savior. Man, he paid a terrible price on the cross for me. I want what he has provided. Yet salvation comes this morning without cost to all of us who will just truly by faith say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. This morning, it's a great provision. Salvation covers your past sins. You ready to tell you something? All of those past things that I've done, and I did a lot of them growing up, they were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. All the present sins that I do are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, the sins that I do tomorrow and next month and next year to the rest of my life have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am as saved now as I ever was. I'm on my way to heaven. Folks, nothing can change that. I'm a child of God because not what I did, but what Jesus Christ did. A great provision. The Bible says he saved me. It wasn't me. So therefore, I can't lose my salvation. Oh, people say, well, preacher, since you can't lose your salvation, you can go out and sin all you want to. It don't work that way. When you're saved, you don't want to sin because it disappoints the Holy Spirit. It disappoints the Father in heaven. when I got saved, I didn't want to sin. Yes, I do sin. But I didn't want to sin anymore. I want to live for God. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. I want to live a life that's holy to God. So that one day when I stand before God, I'll hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen. Don't you want to hear that? That is a great life. I heard our Sunday school teacher this morning says he just wants to finish his life. How'd you say that? Huh? Well, he wants to finish his life well. He doesn't want to mess it up at the end of his life. We don't want to do that either, do we? We want to run the race and finish the race and be like old Paul said, "I have finished the course that God has laid me. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness which he, the righteous judge, God himself, will give me upon that day. And not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing." Isn't that great to know? Oh, we have a great life. We have a great God. And he helps us not only today, but he's going to help me tomorrow. He's going to walk right beside me. You know what God said when I came here? He said, "I'll never fail nor forsake you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given to you." Man, let me tell you something. There's no place that I go that God doesn't go. That's the reason I want to live a holy life. That's the reason I don't do things that are displeasing to God, because God is right there with me. You see? Everywhere you go, God is there. Let me tell you something. I have watched God take an old boy and change his life completely around. Man, it's great changes. It makes a, I had an old uncle, his name was, man, I can't even think of his name now. My mind doesn't all come and go often. Sometimes last time it went, it stayed gone. Uncle Raymond. Uncle Raymond was my grandmother's brother. My grandmother was a praying lady. She prayed, I believe she prayed her sisters and brother right into heaven. Uncle Raymond was a drunkard. Uncle Raymond was one of the worst kind of drunks you'd ever find. He would drink, he'd sleep under park benches, he would go down and stay under bridges, he would lay there in that old car and be drunk for days, and then he would come home. He didn't have a home because he had lost his wife, he'd lost his two children, he didn't have anybody but my grandmother, her brother. She prayed for him, she never did let him go. She said, "Raymond, you come stay with me, I'll take care of you." He was a teetotal drunk. I mean, that was the worst kind. But did you know what? She never gave up praying for Uncle Raymond. And today he's in heaven, not because of anything he did, but one day he got on his knees before a television. The preacher was preaching on salvation, and he got on his knees and he started crying and he started saying, "Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to let me overcome this alcohol." Man, let me tell you something. He got saved. Gloriously saved. I've never seen him take another drink in all the days that he lived there. Man, he lived a long time too. Let me tell you something. The Lord blessed him so much that his children came back. Oh, they loved their daddy. They saw a change in him. Oh, he wished he could undo some of the things he did in the early days, but there's no going back and changing those things. You see, once they're done, they're done. You pay the price for those sins. But God made a new person out of him. He started witnessing to his old buddies that were drinking. And they said, "You know what, Janie, I don't know what happened to Raymond, but man, he's a different person. We can't get him to drink with us anymore." See, Raymond was saved. And that's what God does. He takes a drunkard and makes him sober. He'll take a liar and make him truthful. He'll take a filthy and make him clean. He'll take a dead man and make him alive in Christ. That's my God, folks. That's the eternal God. And salvation's scope is wide enough to reach all men. It says, whosoever, that means everybody in this room this morning, has the same opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everyone, it doesn't matter what age. These little children up here, they're back there now with Kendra and them, and some of them are here with your family. Somebody asked me, you mind if the kids stay in here with mom and daddy? I don't care. I grew up right there. If they want to stay with you, you stay with them. Amen. You know, they can learn about God. They can be saved. You know, every man, everywhere, doesn't matter what age, if God touches their life, he can save them. You see, the fact is, sin is going to be punished. And another fact is, we have a glorious, glorious salvation. And then the last fact I want to bring, the great tragic fact is that men can miss this great salvation. Look what it says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? You can be sitting here this morning and miss the grace of God. You can sit here this morning and miss all the riches that God wants to give you. You can sit here this morning and miss the presence of God. You see, you can sit here this morning, and when the Holy Spirit comes face to face with your life and says, hey, I'm talking to you, you can say, oh, not me, not today. I don't want to do that today. And you can miss that so great a salvation. You see, you can miss the deliverance from the wrath of God if you don't trust Jesus Christ. You can miss all the riches of heaven, all eternity, if you don't trust Jesus Christ. How can such riches be missed? How can you miss? Well, you know, you don't hate God, do you? You don't have to hate God. I don't hate God. I don't hate this church. I love this church. I love this Bible. This is a great Bible. It was given to me by my wife, and she wrote in the front of it, and she says, I will always love you. Thank you for your steadfast commitment to our Lord. You know, this is a special Bible to me because she gave it to me. Probably I bought it with my money, but she gave it to me. Whatever's mine is hers. And whatever she has is mine. We don't have any problem with that, folks. We love each other. I tell you what, I don't have to do any of those things to miss the glory of God. All I have to do is neglect it. Just neglect that great salvation. Just do nothing. You see, that's what the devil wants you to do this morning. Well, I got plenty of time. I ain't going to do that now. You don't know if you're going to be alive this evening. You know, you don't even know if you don't walk out of here. I have actually seen people die in church. Man, you see, just neglect this morning to do anything with Christ. Just neglect to repent of your sin. You see, you can lose your health, lose your wealth, you can lose your life itself just by neglect. Neglect. You know, that's what a lot of us do. We neglect the things in our life, and we lose those things. But it's more foolish for a man to lose his own soul by neglect. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the glorious fact that you can receive the great salvation today. You can receive Christ today as your Lord and Savior. You see, it cannot be earned. You cannot purchase it. But it's given to you by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All you have to do is receive it. Let me tell you something. If I opened my billfold and took out a $10 bill or a $5 bill and said, whoever comes up here to receive this money can have it, I'd probably be stampeded. Toby said, you would. She'd get it. But let me tell you something. Something far more valuable than any amount of money is at stake today. It's here. God says the gift of salvation is available to you. All you have to do is come. Whosoever will may come. Come trusting Christ. Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I trust your word. You said in your word that you came, you died on the cross. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that your blood was shed for me to cover my sins. I believe that you died on the cross. You was buried, you rose again. You're coming back, just like you say. I believe that. I believe it. I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. I believe with all my heart that God wants somebody to come today trusting him and receive this great salvation. There's no greater gift than that salvation. And there's no person that you have to fear. You see, God wants you to come. It's a great life. We got a great Savior, a great provider, and a great provision. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Would you come today? Maybe you're here and you're already saved, but you haven't been doing what you need to be doing. Would you come? Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God led you, and you, the Holy Spirit just says, this is the place. You come. I'll be glad to share with you how you could receive Christ or join the church, or I'll be glad to pray with you if that's all you want to do. Just get your life right with God. It's a great life. Don't miss it. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. God, we just thank you today that you're here, that you offer this great salvation, that it's available to all. Don't let anyone here today walk out of this place lost. Let them make the decision for you and come. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask these things. Amen.